the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
As we've discovered more and more about who Jesus is, and for a little while now, we're going to just cast our minds back over the last few weeks. If you're in Kids for Christ or SOS, you'll have been following the same series through in your groups as mums and dads and the adults have in this big room. So I thought it would be nice to actually recap the different weeks that we've gone through so far by using some of the craft that Kids for Christ did. So hopefully, might appear on the screen. There we go. So we have been looking at who is this man? Who is this man? It's based on this book by John Ortberg with the same title. And way back a few weeks ago, we started off and we thought about this particular story that we read about in the New Testament. Now, can anybody make out what's going on in that craft that we did in Kids for Christ? Paul, can you run around with a microphone and see if somebody can tell me what that might be? It's a little bit...
It's when the man goes down through the roof and he lands on Jesus' feet.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. His friends take him up onto the roof. And why did he have to go up onto the roof? Why did his friends have to take him? Cora, can you say?
Because there was no way in because the doors were locked with all the people.
Yeah, there were so many people wanting to listen to Jesus, weren't there? And this man couldn't walk, could he? So his friends had to carry him on his mat up to the roof and down they went. They made a hole in the roof and down he came. And can anyone remember? Well, there was two things that Jesus was able to do for this man. Can anyone remember what those two things were? Oh, we've got a hand up at the back. It's Isaac, I can see.
He was able to heal him.
He was able to heal him? Yeah, we made him mobile. And I don't know if you can make out the words. We made two... And on the reverse, it had these words. It said, Jesus is God... And it says, Jesus, oh, this is the other thing that Jesus was able to do. Can anyone remember what that was? It was, he healed his legs, but there was something else that Jesus was able to do. Can anyone remember? We've got Evie here.
Forgive sins.
Yeah, he forgave his sins as well. And everyone in the room went, oh, rather like we did then. Oh. Who is this man? He says, if he can forgive sins. And we realized that it meant that Jesus, well, he was God on earth, because only God can forgive sins. And we also learned that some people got a bit angry with that. And we might have a little think about those angry people a bit later on this morning. So that was way back then, wasn't it? So who is this man? Somebody who can forgive sins? Somebody who can heal people? Somebody who looks like he's God on earth. Right, there's a beautiful drawing come up now, and well, it's eight drawings actually, telling a story of what happened in the next week of who is this man. Now, could anyone make out what they think that story might be telling us about? We've got the artist actually in the congregation, so we could always ask him if all else fails. It's back when Jesus was 12 years old. I'll give you a clue. Come on, adults, I want to see some of your hands up as well. I'm sure lots of you are here listening to the sermon. Anybody know?
Yes, well, they taught the learned people in the temple things which they were surprised that they knew that just a young guy could tell them things.
Absolutely right, yeah. So Jesus went along to the temple when he was only 12 years old, and they probably went on a donkey. We might hear a bit more about donkeys later on. There's that lovely donkey there in picture 3. And then Mary and Joseph can't find Jesus. That's picture six. They've got their question marks over their heads. And then number seven, Jesus is there in the temple talking with the priests and reading from the Bible, reading from the scrolls that made up their Bible in those days. And they were amazed at how clever and how much Jesus knew about God's word. So we learnt that Jesus was really, really clever, but also we learnt that Jesus was actually, he was the Word. He was the Word made flesh. It's no wonder he knew all about what was in those scrolls. And thank you to James for that beautiful picture as well. So here we learnt that he had unique authority. He had a knowledge of the scriptures that no one else had. And then the next week, well, we had a lovely invitation, an invitation to something. Now, can anyone remember what we learnt about Jesus the next week? Right at the back.
When Jesus led everyone to their party.
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus told his story. He said that a very, very important man, he had a party and he invited people to come. He wanted people to come to his amazing party. And some people made up excuses because they couldn't be bothered to go. So Jesus went out and invited more people. He invited people who don't usually get invited to parties. And he wanted them to come along as well. Jesus wanted everyone to come along. That's the story that he told, reminds us of. And we learn that Jesus is someone who treats everyone with dignity. He wants everyone to have the same opportunities to get to know him, to be with him forever. All we've got to do is remember to say yes to the invitation and not ignore it or make up excuses about why we don't want to go. And then finally, last week, we were all together, weren't we? And Rachel helped us find out something else, about Jesus. And if you remember, Derek had to put on a Manchester United shirt, didn't he, last week? And who can remember what we learnt about Jesus last week? It's only 7 days ago. Come on, adults. We've had all answers from children so far. Surely we can remember last week. Where's Rachel? Surely she can remember. Hey, Joan.
I remember. He's ready to cross over to the other side.
He did. And he taught us that he was somebody that loved his enemies and that we need to do that as well. And I'm going to hand over to Paul now because he's going to tell us a little bit more about what we can learn about who Jesus is from our passage this morning.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Just want to point out Keith is actually an adult, okay? So we did have an adult who stuck up. So thank you, Keith. You saved the adult's honour. Very good. Would you grab one of the green Bibles, which is just in front of you? We're going to plunge into the Bible to read just one verse, actually, out loud all together. So if you can see a Bible, if you're able to read the Bible, we're just going to read one verse all together to start with. And it's from Matthew chapter 21, and that's page 935 in the church Bibles. And we're going to read verse 10 together. So mums and dads, if you've got little ones, you could perhaps help them find where this is. So we're looking at the big 21 for chapter 21 of Matthew, and then we'll go down and we'll find the little 10 for the start of verse 10. And when we've got that, we're going to read it out loud together. Looks like we're there. Okay, we're getting there. Okay, here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this? Who is this?" That's what we've been thinking about, isn't it? Who is this man? And we've had bits of the puzzle that Sarah has just shared with us, thanks to all the people who remembered what we've done for the past few weeks. And today we've got a bit more of the puzzle because we're going to think about what happened on Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is the beginning of what some Christians call Holy Week or Easter Week. And I think it's actually the most important week in the whole history of the world. The week that started on Palm Sunday, that goes through Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday. And we're starting on that journey, that final journey that Jesus takes this morning. We're going to do it in two parts. First of all, we're going to have a look at what happened when Jesus came into Jerusalem. And then we're going to sing a song to praise his name. And then we're going to come back and we're going to think about what happened, what he did when he got into Jerusalem. So that's where we're going. Now, we will come back to the passage, I promise you, in just a moment that you've got open. But before we do that, let me ask you a question. Okay, now, one of these two vehicles is Donald Trump's official motor car. Now, I'm guessing that most of you know which one it is, okay? In case there's any confusion, it's the one on the left, okay? Apparently, this is called the Beast. It costs $1.5 million to build, and this is it weighs 8 tons, apparently, which astonished me because it's armor plated, so much armor plating. It's a very, very heavy vehicle. I think Donald Trump, as the President of the United States, needs to have a really big, important car when he's driving around. How about if you were a king or a queen, which of those two carriages or coaches do you think would be the right thing to go and get crowned in? What do you think? I'm hearing the gold one. Yeah, I think so. That is actually the coach that our Queen, Queen Elizabeth II, rode in when she went to get crowned as the Queen of England back in the 1950s. And apparently, as well as all of the gold on the outside, it's upholstered and lined with velvet and satin on the inside. So it's quite a posh car. I bet you haven't got a car that looks like that, have you? So that's what you expect a king or a queen to arrive in, isn't it? In Jesus' day, I think they would have expected their kings to arrive in their capital city looking a bit like this. I expect they would have expected them to have armor on and look warlike and strong. And I imagine they would have been on a magnificent thoroughbred stallion with all the right livery on it and all the right gear. And he'd have looked magnificent. That's, I think, what people would have expected. But actually, Jesus, when he rides into his capital city as the king, he chooses this. It's not top of the range, is it? Let's be honest. It's not top of the range. But Jesus chooses a humble female donkey to show us what kind of king he is. An unusual type of king. Okay, let's have a look at the Bible passage in a bit more detail, shall we? So it's still Matthew chapter 21. I should have told you to keep it open in case you've closed it. If you have closed it, it's still page 935. And we are going to be reading the first 11 verses, I think it is. So if reading is difficult for you for any reason, we've got some pictures that will come up on the screen that'll hopefully help you just to imagine the scene as we talk about it as well. So here we go. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. As they, that's Jesus and his disciples, approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to that village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with a with her colt by her." Colt is a baby donkey. "Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place, says Matthew, to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. And here, he's actually quoting from a bit of the Old Testament from a prophet called Zechariah, who'd written these words 550 years 550 years before the thing that Jesus actually did when he came into Jerusalem. So this is what Zechariah wrote 550 years earlier. He said, verse 5, "Say to daughter Zion," that's just a way of speaking about Jerusalem, daughter Zion, "see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their coats on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. A bit like the branches we've got in front of us here that Sarah cut down this morning. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" And if that, after that word, Hosanna, can you see a little B? You see a little B? If you follow that down to the bottom of the page, it says, there's a little note, a Hebrew expression meaning save, which became an exclamation of praise. So Hosanna is a kind of a mixture of save us and hooray! Kind of imagine those two things together. That's Hosanna. Okay, so go back to where we were in verse 9. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Okay, we'll pause our reading there. We'll come back to it in a little bit. So that was the people's answer. Who is this? Who is this man? Oh, it's Jesus. He's the prophet from up north. He's the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And that's true, but it's only part of the answer to who Jesus is. And we've had some of the clues about Jesus' true identity this morning when you helped us remember what we'd been thinking about over the past few weeks. But even in that reading, we had loads of clues as to who Jesus really was. I wonder if you got them. I wonder if you noticed them as we went along. The first one was in verse 3 when he was talked about as the Lord. And did you notice that he was in control of the whole situation? Every step of the journey, and we've got some great pictures being started for the journey of Holy Week down here. Every step of the way, Jesus is in control of events. He is the Lord of Holy Week. He's also the King. He is the royal ruler coming to his people. And he wasn't just any old king. He's the son of David. He's the king they've been waiting for 1,000 years since the great King David had ruled. There hadn't been another king like him. Here comes his true heir and his greater son. And more than that, he comes, it says in verse 9, in the name of the Lord. In other words, he comes with all of God's authority. He comes as God's representative on earth. And even more than that, he's the one who can save. Hosanna! Save! He's the one who can do it. And the only reason he can do it, as Sarah already reminded us this morning, is because he is God. Only God can save us from our sins. Only God can bring us into eternal life. Jesus is the King who saves. So yes, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. But this is so much more. He, this man, is so much more than that. And at the start of Holy Week, I wonder if you're not yet convinced about who Jesus is. I wonder if you take the opportunity of Holy Week to journey with him in imaginations and in hearts and in reading God's word to discover who this man is, to discover who he is, what he came to do, what he wants to do for you, what he wants to do for me. this Holy Week, let's follow this King to discover his true identity. So, King Jesus has arrived in his capital city. What happens next? Let's open up our Bibles again, shall we? Matthew chapter 21, still page 935. And we're going to be looking at verses 12 to 17 this time. Jesus comes to the temple. I think I'm right in saying that in the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, this is the first time he's been to the temple since he was 12 years old. That's interesting, isn't it? Remember how he was received the last time he was in the temple? We thought about that this morning. And now watch how he's received this time that he comes to the temple. It's different in the Gospel of John, I know, but that we were just thinking about Matthew, Mark and Luke just at that, for that particular point. So Jesus at the temple. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, and this time he's quoting from other prophets, not Zechariah, but Isaiah and Jeremiah from the Old Testament. "It is written, my house, says God, will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read," this time he quotes from the Psalms, "from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise." And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, a nearby village, where he spent the night. Okay. Jesus gets angry, doesn't he? Gets angry. This is one of the rare occasions in the Gospels where Jesus gets angry. What makes you angry, I wonder? I'm going to ask you for 30 seconds, just quickly chat with whoever's next to you. What makes you angry? What gets you going? Okay? Just quickly, just for a few seconds. What gets you angry? Okay. Right. We don't want to vent too much just at the moment, so we'll rein it in there. I expect that, to be honest, some of the things that irritate us and make us angry, sometimes they're a bit silly, aren't they, to be honest? Let's be fair. But I'd be surprised if there weren't people in this room who'd said something along the lines of the fact that it's injustice and unfairness that gets you angry. When people aren't treated properly, when people aren't treated fairly and truly, I think that's something that really angers me. And that's what angered Jesus. He really got angry over the fact that there was injustice going on in God's house, in God's temple. He really didn't like that at all. These tables and benches that he turned over, it wasn't that they were wrong to be there at all. They needed birds because they had to sacrifice birds under the Jewish religion at this time. So they needed someone to sell them. You don't sort of wander around with birds, do you? You need somebody to sell you a bird, okay? So it wasn't wrong, but they were charging too much for them. This was Passover time. It was a holiday time. Everybody had come to Jerusalem, and they were just interested in making a fast shekel. And it wasn't wrong that there were people to change the money because they had to use a particular type of currency in the temple. So there had to be money changers because they were coming from all over the Roman Empire. But they were getting commission on it, too much commission. And that made Jesus angry because what should have been a place of prayer had been turned into a place of profit making. And he got angry, angry, angry. And when he overturns those benches and those tables, in the world of objects. What he's really doing is saying, I want to overturn your heart. I want to overturn your values and your priorities and the way you think so that they're in line with the way that God thinks. So if you're somebody this morning who is angry because of injustice, it might be injustice close to home, or it might be injustice or unfairness in the world at large, I'd like to suggest to you that you're walking in the footsteps of Jesus this Easter. What's close to your heart and what grieves your heart is what grieved the heart of the Lord Jesus. And if we're not grieved by injustice, then we're on the wrong side of this particular debate. We absolutely are on the wrong side of this debate. Because look who isn't bothered about the injustice in the Bible passage. It's the religious leaders of the day. They get angry. It says in verse 15 that they get indignant, doesn't it? But why do they get indignant? They don't get indignant because of the injustice and the fact that God's prayer house is being turned into a den of robbers. They get indignant because Jesus is doing something about it. They get indignant because he has the audacity to heal blind and lame people in the temple. He's healing the problem of exclusion through illness. They don't like it. And worst of all, there's all this lot down here in the temple who are shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! And they don't like that. They really don't like that at all. And so they say to him, don't you hear? That's wrong, isn't it? They shouldn't be doing that in church. And Jesus says, actually, that's what the scriptures say in the Psalms. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you, Lord, have established praise. So yeah, Jesus came gentle and riding on a donkey, but he had no hesitation at all at standing up for what was right. He was a strong man, the strongest man who's ever lived. And if you're the kind of person who just loves to praise God spontaneously, God loves it when you do that. Jesus loves it when people cry out, Hosanna to the Son of David. So, children, if you're in the supermarket queue, feel free to sing praise songs. Jesus loves it. Grown-ups, if you're in church and you feel like dancing, dance! Jesus loves it when we praise him spontaneously. And if we go out into public places and we feel like we want to praise God and pray to him, do it! It doesn't matter what other people think. Do it! Jesus loves it when we praise him and acknowledge him spontaneously. So there we are. Jesus is the King who comes, the King who brings justice, and the King who loves it when his people praise him. Amen.